tonight. Jesus Saves, that's a wonderful song. Even the special music there talks about how we can be amazed by the love of God and the goodness of God and amazed with our God if we will take time to spend time with Him. We can be overwhelmed by His graciousness. Many times we're not amazed or overwhelmed because we don't take time as we could or as we should to get to know Him like He desires. Jeremiah chapter 17 tonight, we're going to look at verses 5 through 11. Sometimes when you come to a passage, or at least sometimes when I come to a passage of Scripture, I feel like there's a lot in it. And sometimes when you get ready, no matter how long you study, how long you look at it, how long you pray over it, you get to a spot where you feel like, man, there's more in it that I'm not able to draw out, or you wish there was more. And that's kind of why I look at this passage of Scripture. There's so much good in it, so many things I think we can learn in it, that I'm hoping and praying the Lord will use it tonight to be a blessing and encouragement to you. I like it. I like the fact that sometimes the Bible's really, really simple. Just plain, puts it out there, very matter of the fact. Now, there's a lot of digging, there's a lot of things that we learn and we grow from and we understand, but tonight it's talking about, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You see in verse number 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, which is a different word than what was in Psalms chapter 1. Maybe one of these times we'll look at all the different blessed or blessed words that are found in the Bible so we can understand the reason and the difference. Many of them are very similar. Many are ones that are just talking about happy or talking about living a life that God can bless or supremely bless. This is talking about the adoration of serving the Lord, kneeling before the God. This is something that is pleasing to the Lord when we trust in the Lord. So tonight, Deuteronomy chapter number 11, there's a verse that talks about, hey, I'm going to give you here's your choice. There's a blessing and there's a curse. It says Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28, before I set before you this day, and this is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel, a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Pretty simple. Moses is up there and he's saying, look, God wants to bless you. When we're talking about our theme this year, I believe God wants his blessing upon us. I think God wants to supremely bless us with blessings. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about a life that is truly blessed, a life that God can use, a life that God can look at and say, hey, there is something that I can use, something I can show myself strong in. But also, not besides just God's service and what God can do with us because of our life, but over here too, he's saying this is what's going to make you happy. He's saying this is what's going to make you joyful. He's saying that even in hard times and difficult times, when the drought comes, it talks about here, it's not going to stop them. They're not going to be scorched because of the fact that they're trusting in the Lord. Great passage of Scripture. Some of these verses you're going to look at, and there's one or two that you're going to say, like verse number 9 that says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? People can say, hey, I know that one. Some that sounds familiar to other verses, like verse number 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And that's a verse you say, well, that sounds familiar. Most of us would say, hey, that sounds like Psalms chapter 1, verse number 3 a little bit. And then you see some verses that maybe we have not or not as familiar with that teach us this powerful truth. God is saying, hey, you can have a blessed life or you can have a cursed life. The pastor, we're believers, are on the way to heaven. We're not under the curse of sin. They're talking about a life that God cannot bless, a life that's miserable, a life that is saying that will be God working in your heart, trying to get you back into fellowship, a life that is continually just something that the Lord is having to discipline, and a life that is just not having the blessings of God on it. And so as we think about this year's theme, blessed, I want us to consider, once again, similar to like last week, this is what the blessed man does. This is what the person who's not blessed does. This is what a blessed man, maybe easier to put it, the blessed man does this. And doesn't do that. This week it's turned around a little bit about what the blessed man does not do. It says in verse number 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're coming to you tonight because we're a needy people. Lord, we have a heart, the Bible says, that's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. And we can't even understand and know all of that. And that's why we need to trust in you. Lord, because you try our hearts, you try the reins, you know what is right, you know what is wrong. And Lord, as we trust in you, the Bible says that we'll be blessed. We'll show a form of adoration towards you. It'll be something that's honoring and pleasing to the Lord. The Bible also says a person who trusts in their flesh or makes their flesh what they count on how to get things accomplished, they're not going to be happy, be miserable. Lord, help us to believe the scriptures. Help us to see and understand those truths and grab a hold of those things and say, okay, what is it, Lord, that you want me to learn here? Give me wisdom in every situation. God, that you would help us tonight. That you would help us to see and understand what your desire is for our heart and our lives. Nation of Israel doesn't get it. Nation of Israel is in bondage here. And God, they refuse to trust in you. God, help us not to refuse. Help us to embrace your ways. Help us to be secure in them. Help us to find confidence in them. Help us not to be questioning. Instead, let's trust. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So just simply, the first thing is, we'll see what it says here in verse number 5, cursed be the man. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of different interesting illustrations here. A lot of different things can be dug out, and I feel like I have a good handle on it, but not as good as I normally like to. So I'm going to do some reading some quotes from some different preachers at the same time. Many times people do that when they're preaching, is the God spoken to a person's heart who studied the Bible and says it in a different way. If you see here, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Think about when it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. God pronounces his curse for the forefront he thereby puts upon him. That idea of curse means that they're miserable. It's a man that does this. It's a man who leans on a broken reed, which will not only fail him, but will run into his hand and pierce it. The sin here is condemned. It is trusting a man, putting the confidence and wisdom and power and kindness and faithfulness of man is not God's desire for our life. We should not be thinking about man's wisdom because man's greatest wisdom is nothing compared to God. God can forget. God's foolishness is greater than man's wisdom. God knows, and he says, if as you put trust in God's man's wisdom, you put trust in man's power, you put trust in the kindness of man and the faithfulness of man, all those things will fail you, but God won't. He says your life is going to be miserable if you continue to trust in man, and then continues on, and shall not see the good that, verse number 5, and says, and maketh flesh his arm. So what does that mean? It means is that we use the flesh to try to accomplish the purposes of life. We use our flesh and we consider the flesh or the flesh of man and what man can do and all the things man can accomplish. That's what we use to accomplish what we desire to accomplish. It's what we depend upon for protection. It's what we depend upon for shelter. It's what we try to work our point out. is when we have a certain goal, and this is how I'm going to get there. I'm not getting there because God is leading and directing. I'm not using God's wisdom and God's power and God's protection and God's mercy and God's faithfulness and God's kindness. Instead, I'm trying to manipulate my flesh and manipulate other fleshes to try to get my purpose accomplished. He says, you're going to be miserable. It's always going to fail. And that's something we look at, and he's saying this here. It's, hey, the blessed man, he's not going to try to work things out in his flesh. He's going to trust in the Lord that, hey, if God wants it done, God will let it done. Then it keeps on going. It says here, and it says, make his flesh his arm, and look, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That means that the security that is there, that's found in the Lord, and putting our hearts in God's hands and trusting him there. His heart has departed from God. No longer is he trusting in the Lord. No longer is he counting on the Lord's sheltering and protection and wisdom and guidance. Instead, we have taken and we put it inside man's hand. I remember in this story over and over, Jeremiah keeps on telling you're going to bondage, you're going to bondage. Even during this time, they go into bondage and go into slavery. And there's different times they come to Jeremiah and ask Jeremiah, what should we do? And Jeremiah says, this is what God says. No, we're going to go to Egypt. No, we're going to depend on something or someone else. We're going to depend on the flesh because what God says sometimes doesn't make sense to us. But he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. The flesh says, I can accomplish all this. God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime in our flesh. God can do more in a moment, in a second, than we could ever do in our flesh because he's God. Then it talks about, here it says, there's an illustration here. It shows, let's think about this word flesh for a second. What are we talking about when we flesh? Why is it folly to show confidence in the flesh? It's because the flesh is weak. The flesh is feeble. Think about it. Our flesh, without bones and sinews, there would be no strength in it at all. It would be inactive without a spirit. It is a dead thing. It's a mortal thing. It's a dying thing. It's a dying as flesh. It soon is going to putrefy and corrupt. It is continually wasting away. But that's what we say we want to put our faith in. The thing that's going to fail someday. And if we consider that how our flesh not only is weak and it's feeble, but it's also false, it's also sinful, it also does not have the integrity. This flesh is something that's showing you, don't trust in man because man can fail. Trust in the Lord. And then they give this illustration. And it's like I said, there's some great things in here that I feel like someone else could probably bring out in a lot better way. He says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. One preacher put it this way, a heath in the desert is a sorry shrub, the product of barren ground, sapless, useless, and worthless. His comfort shall all fail and his hopes be blasted. He shall wither and be dejected in himself and trampled on by all about him. It's just blows around. It's a weed. It's in the desert, and it not only does it talk about the heath, look what it says, this next thing. He says, and shall not see when good cometh. The flesh has corrupted their mind and their set and their heart so much that when something good is happening, it's like, I don't see it. And so many times our heart can get hard. It's sort of like we talked about this morning with the Pharisees and religious leader. Jesus is there and he's helping people and he's seeing revival happen and he's seeing all these, he got disciples following him, all these things. They can't see the good. Why is that? Because they're trusting in their laws, they're trusting in themselves. They can't see God working, they can't see God moving. All they can do is be critical. All they can be doing is saying, well, the only reason why he's blessing is this, or the only reason why he's blessing is that, the only reason why we see this happen is blah. And they do nothing, they cannot see the good. Because they cannot understand how God can work and how God can move in a life because they have not allowed God to move in their own heart and they have not allowed God to move in their own life. They become so hard-hearted that when anybody else is moved by God, they're like, we'll see how long it happens. And you see, they can't even see good that's coming. See, when they trust in the Lord, that's one thing. They're seeking, they're believing, they're hoping that God can work. They trust in Him. But here, a man that's trusting in the flesh knows that the flesh has failed them over and over and over. And there's been disappointment after disappointment, that's all they can see, that's all they understand, because they have not trusted in Him with their lives. Then it continues on. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabit it. He shall not share in the good. The times mend when they should, that are good, but they do not mend with him. One preacher put it about, he shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness. His expectation shall continually frustrate it, shall be continually frustrated. When others have a harvest, he shall have none. Those that trust in their own righteousness and strength and think they can do well enough without merit and grace of Christ thus make flesh their arm, and their souls cannot prosper in graces or comforts, the things that really matter. The grace of God and the comfort of God, their soul will not prosper in that. They can neither produce the fruits of acceptable services to God nor reap the fruits of savings, blessings from Him. They dwell in a dry land. You're dry in a place that's very dry. And that's where I think sometimes believers are stuck, and they want that relationship. We want it like the song we heard tonight. I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. But instead, we're amazed when we spend the day with God. The God of heaven, the God that created the universe, says, hey, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. But it's not everybody lining up and running to spend time with him and drawing nigh to him and getting closer to him. Instead, we're amazed by those that trust in the Lord, and those that you can see that God is working and God is moving, and which should be the norm. But instead of being the norm, they become the exception. Why is that? Because we don't trust like we should. We have confidence in ourselves and our strength and our own flesh and our own might and our own wisdom. Now, don't get me wrong. Confidence in the Lord, trusting the Lord, means that if we have lived for the Lord, we're confident that God's going to move. We're confident in the wisdom that He gives us. We're just not confident in our own strength and our own wisdom. Second thing, not only is he cursed be the man, that seems a little bit, I don't know, a little bit of a drag. That's what happens when you trust in ourselves or trust in man more than God. He says it. I wouldn't have written it that way. I would have said it. You know what? You're going to accomplish some things with man, but you're going to accomplish more with God. That's not what he says. He says that you will live a miserable life, a cursed life, if you put your confidence in man. It's going to be failing over and over. You're never going to see the good. You're going to always be in a dry land. You'll be like that heath, worthless shrub, not accomplishing anything. Second thing is, blessed is the man. So we'll look at the positive things, the things that he does. What it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. That word trust means to be confident and sure, to be bold, even to a point of careless. What do you mean careless? Meaning that we have given our hearts so much over to the Lord, we are not anxious or careful for anything because we have trusted in him. Sort of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of my favorite spots in the Bible. And he looks at Nebuchadnezzar, that probably the most mighty man to ever rule in the earth, at least in the how much land he has. And he says, we're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. Why is that? Because our God is able. I'm trusting in him. And it's the idea that we don't live a life, and the idea of being careless, that we're being dumb when it comes to certain things. No, we're trusting the Lord that he's going to bless. I don't need to maneuver my flesh around to make something happen. God can do it. To do our duty, one man put it this way, to do our duty to him, and then to depend upon him, to bear us out in doing it. When others either deceive or threaten us, either are false to us or fierce against us, to commit ourselves to God as an all-sufficient, both to fill up the place of those who fail us and to protect us from those who set upon us. It's the idea, do I trust the Lord? Trust the Lord with my life. Do I trust my Lord with my wallet? Do I trust the Lord with my talents and my abilities? Do I trust the Lord with my family? Because in my own flesh, I have my own ways of thinking. I have my own ways of accomplishing things. I have my own ways to get to a certain point and a certain expectation. I got to do it my way or nothing's going to turn out right. That's saying that's the miserable life. That's the cursed life. He says the blessed life is the one who sees what the Word of God says and trusts in the Word of God. As we learned last week, that delights in the Word or in the Word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. We heard the choir sing Psalms chapter 1 in the choir. And I enjoy it. Maybe that's not my favorite choir special, but boy, it's filled with the Bible. It's awesome that you can learn the Word of God to music. And then you see, not only does it talk about trusting the Lord, it talks about whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. That's what we have our confidence in. Sometimes when we have confidence in the flesh, we turn around and say, well, I hope that person's going to accomplish that, because if so, we're going to succeed. There's a chance whether or not it may happen or may not happen. But when he says his hope is the Lord, or specifically as it says in verse number 9, whose hope the Lord is, it's saying that everything I do, I'm doing it trusting in the Lord, and my hope is not in man, it's not in man's power, man's wisdom, man's hope, man's kindness, man's faithfulness, it's not in all any of those things. The Lord is my hope. He's the one that I'm trusting in. He's the reason why I preach, or he's the reason why I discipline my child, or he's the reason why I forgive. He's the reason why I keep on going on. He's the reason why I serve. He's the reason why I tell other people about the Lord. He is my hope. I'm trusting in him, and because I've trusted him, I'm having my hope in him. And the Bible even says, whose hope the Lord is. His favor, the good we hope for, and his power, the strength we hope in, the comfort that attends the doing of his duty. As I do the work of the Lord, it comforts me to know that the hope is not found in how good my sermon sounds, but in the fact that he's given me the sermon. My hope is not found in the fact that I can say the right thing to try to win someone to Christ. The hope is that God loves him. He just told me to be faithful, and he'll take care of the rest of the work. My hope is not found in how I can make money and take care of my family, but the hope is found in the fact that the Lord's promised me he'll meet all my needs. And the hope isn't found in, oh, if we work super hard, this is no reason to be lazy. Because if we're going to trust in the Lord, we're not going to be lazy about certain things. We're going to be diligent and disciplined, as it talks about many things, but the hope is found in the Lord. Now, he saw an illustration in verse number 6 about the cursed life. Now we see an illustration in verse number 8 about the blessed life. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let me read, and this is a little bit longer, what someone wrote about this. He that does, this is Matthew Henry, he that does so shall be as a tree planted by waters. Choice tree, about which great care has been taken to set in the best soil. So far from being like the heath in the wilderness, he shall be like a tree that spreads out its roots and thereby is firmly fixed, spreads them out by the rivers, whence it draws abundant sap, which denotes both the establishment and comfort from which those who have make God their hope. They are easy, they are pleasant, they enjoy a continual security and a serenity of mind. A tree thus planted, thus watered, shall not see when heat comes, shall not sustain any damage from the most scorching heats of summer. It is so well moistened from its roots that it shall be sufficiently guarded against drought. Those that make God their hope, they shall flourish in credit and comfort. Like a tree that is always green, whose leaf does not wither, they shall be cheerful to themselves and beautiful in the eyes of others. Those who thus give honor to God by giving him credit will put honor upon and make them an ornament of delight of the places where they live as green trees are. They shall be fixed in an inward peace and satisfaction. They shall not be careful in the year of drought, when there is want of rain. For as the tree has seed in itself, so it has its moisture. Those who make God their hope have enough in him to make up the want of all creature comforts. They shall be fruitful in holiness and in all good works. Those who trust in God and by faith derive strength and grace from him shall not cease from yielding fruit. They shall still be enabled to do that which will redound to the glory of God, the benefit of others, and their own account. You read the verse, and probably my favorite thought out of this verse, because it seems like it's anything different than anywhere else, is found towards the bottom. It says, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. I thought about the years of COVID being something that would be considered a drought or a difficult time. The years of COVID, when no one's out and ministry seems like in some ways slowed down because of the interaction. Other ways it picked up, other ways through electronics, other ways through live streaming. There you can always see the blessings, but there was a time when you could look at it and say, man, it's a very dry time. But even in the dry times, even in the dark times, even in the hard times, it says that, if you look at it, it's interesting, and it says, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. It's sort of like saying, oh, no, things are too hard, things are too tough, let's be careful here, let's not continue to move forward, let's not continue to push forward. It's not the right time to reach out. It's always the right time to reach out. And I know there's different methods and there's different ways, but in the year of the drought, you know what he's saying? You can still produce fruit because you're not trusting in the same things that man is trusting in. COVID doesn't dictate what we do and what we can accomplish. The world does not dictate what we can do and accomplish. I mean, the Pharisees told the disciples, hey, stop preaching about Jesus. They didn't. What happened? Did that dictate? Would that have been considered a drought? Maybe so. Well, what happens? The church explodes. The Roman government says, hey, the Christians burned down the Roman Empire. You know, that would be a hard time or a tough time. There was people that died inside those Colosseums for being a believer. That would have been a drought. What was happening during that time? The word of God was being spread throughout all the world. So what is that? It means that when things are difficult, and the year of drought, because there are lean times, there's good seasons, there's bad seasons. There's rejoicing seasons, and there's seasons of mourning. And whether it's a time where the 7 years of famine, like it was for Joseph, or the 7 years of plentiful, God can still provide in any of those times, with any of those situations. Don't let the dark times of your life say, I guess I'm going to have to stop ministering. I guess I'm going to have to stop serving. The man that's planted by the river of the waters, the man who's trusting in the Lord, the man who's depending and whose hope the Lord is, even during the drought seasons, he can provide fruit. He can still be, as it says, her leaf shall be green. It can still happen. And look at what it says at the end. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This over and over here gives you an idea that even during difficult times, say, look, and it says, shall not see when heat cometh. It's not going to see when the anxiousness and the hardness that everybody else is facing, everyone else seems like they're struggling. Why is that? It's because they depended upon man, and man cannot control the rain. Man cannot control the drought. They're stuck, and they're overwhelmed by it. But God says, hey, look, even when everyone else is going through the drought, I can still help you produce your fruit in your season. The third thing I want you to think about is you can't trust your heart. And it talks about the cursed, talks about the blessed, but this kind of helps us understand not only is it our flesh weak, we can't trust our flesh. Look what it says in verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So it is a folly to trust a man, for he is not only frail, but false and deceitful. Think about it. We are apt to think that we trust in God and are entitled to the blessings here promised to those who do so. But this is the thing what's about our own heart. Our own heart, we many times don't think deceives us as much as the Bible says it does. We like to trust in our heart. We like to think, hey, my heart's different. But it doesn't say, hey, your heart is different. No one said, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord fully. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because your heart is deceitful above all things. We think that we trust in God when we really do not. As it appears by this, that our hopes and fears rise and fall according to second causes about what man can say and what man can do. There is that wickedness in our heart which we ourselves are not aware of and do not suspect to be there. We might look around and say, yep, there's wickedness in that man's heart and there's wickedness in that man's heart. The Bible doesn't say and clarify, hey, what is desperate, which ones are desperately wicked and which ones are deceitful. But it says that man's heart is this way. It is a common mistake among men to think themselves, their own hearts, at least a great deal better than what they really are. We want to say, well, my heart's, it's in a good spot. And we talk to people, I knock on doors, individuals, and we talk about salvation, knowing God, I'm a good person. And the Bible just says, no, you're not. The Bible says our heart is very deceitful. It's desperately wicked. The heart, the conscience of man, in its corrupt and fallen state is deceitful above all things. It is subtle. It is false. And that's why we think of ourselves, we like to think of ourselves a little bit better than what we really are. Oh, that's somebody else. No, he says our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. That's why we cannot trust in ourselves and our own wisdom and our own power. That's why he says, hey, there is one. He says, who can know it? There is one who knows the heart. There is one that says, the Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the heart fruit of his doing. There is one who knows the heart and can trust in. That's the Lord. That's why we're blessed in trusting in the Lord, not trusting in man. Not trusting in our own thinking. You say, Pastor, God's given me this brain. He has. He's given you this heart. He's given this conscience. But many times we call evil good and good evil. We put false colors upon things. We cry peace to things that peace really does not belong to. When men say in their hearts, that is when they begin to suffer a whisper to them that they're that really God doesn't care, or maybe that there is no God, or God's not going to see, or God's not going to require, or God's not going to punish, or God's not going to curse. All these things are things that doesn't make sense to us is because our heart is deceiving us. We don't want to be deceived by our heart. Who can know it? Who can describe how bad our heart is? Can you? I mean, Hezekiah, Peter, they did not describe their heart in the time of temptations. They thought they were going to be fine, but they both failed. So who is the one that can know? Who's the one that can understand? It's the Lord. And then sometimes we turn around and we try to say, I know this person's heart. We can't even know our own heart, but we want to judge other people. And I know we're judged by our fruits. I understand people's heart and things like that. I hear people be critical and people say, hey, there's no hope for them. They're never, ever going to change. It's because you're trusting in man. And when you struggle with changing, that you know what? That individual can change if you allow the Lord to work, if the Lord becomes your trust. And sometimes we turn around and say, well, that's the person's heart. We don't even know our own heart. It is true, especially of all deceitfulness and wickedness of a heart, its corrupt devices, its desires, its designs. But that is what runs our flesh, our heart. So how can we trust in something that is deceitful and something that's desperately wicked? And that's why the important is God observes and discerns them, and which is more than what any man can do. He judges the overt act of the heart. God knows more evil of us than we know of ourselves, which is a good reason why we should not flatter ourselves and say, you know what, I can handle this. We don't know ourselves. That's why he says so importantly, trust in me. Blessed is the man that trusteth in me, because you don't even understand how deceitful your own heart is. How can you in your flesh accomplish what I want you to accomplish? What are you trusting in tonight? And once again, it's kind of simply put out there, hey, if you're not going to trust in the Lord, you're going to trust in man, it's going to be miserable. We trust in our politics, trust in our politicians, if we trust in this person or that person. No, it's when we trust in the Lord. That's when we're going to be blessed. So as we consider our theme for this year, last week it was, hey, the blessed man does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. They do not get advice from people that are doing ungodly things. Jesus would not, after this happened this morning, as we talked about in the story, those guys sitting there, they want to destroy him. Jesus wouldn't have gone up to them later on that day and say, hey, you guys, or you're religious, you look right, what do you guys think I should do next? Maybe you should tell me how I should run my ministry from here on out. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? That would be crazy for Jesus. And of course, Jesus didn't do that. But that's sort of like what we do when we want to listen to the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way to sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. We turn around and we go to people who are not acting and not producing spiritual fruit and saying, hey, how do you think I should feel about this? Their hearts are, they're trusting in themselves, and you can tell that they're struggling, and you can tell that they're living for themselves. Hey, can you give me some advice about what Bible I should read or how I should deal with this circumstance? No. It says, he delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Don't go to others, that especially those that are not living for the Lord, for wisdom. It's not going to happen. And then you're like, well, I got to trust in somebody. Trust in the Lord. And that's what he says here. So the second thing is, not only do you delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in day and night, you trust in the Lord. You make the Lord your hope. Reason why we do what we do is because we believe God can work. Now, there might be other churches and other people out there that just do it for a paycheck. There might be people out there that do it to get some notoriety. There might be people out there to try to build an empire, just get a following. But the person that is blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. God is my hope. That's the only reason why we do what we do, because God can make a change. I don't even know my own heart. That's why I can't trust in it. I don't want to use the flesh to accomplish what God's trying to accomplish. Because he says, without me, you can do nothing. You're not going to get there. I want to raise my kids right. I want them to turn out to love the Lord. Trust in the Lord and his ways. Oh, no, I can do this. We can send this class. We can give them this project. We can give them this. We can do that. We can trust in the Lord. Lean on him. He's the only one that knows their heart. He's the only one that knows your heart, knows the heart of the people you try to give them to. The Lord is the one that will lead and guide you. Are you trusting in the Lord tonight? Are you trusting in the flesh? I've trusted in the flesh too many times. And I sometimes thought, oh, look, there's a little success there. But you know what happens in the end? God wasn't blessing. We should desire God's blessing. Trust in the Lord. Put your hope in him. Let's pray.